A lot of y'all have heard me complain. I've come in here in a lot of pain some days. In 2010, I was hit really hard by a car. I was in another car, but I was sitting still. And that car was going about 55 miles an hour. And afterwards, I could barely move. I ached. Everything hurt. It was like all of a sudden, every nerve in my body was awoken. Not to a pleasant feeling. Doctors, therapy, pain medication, which, you know, made it tolerable. And doctors came back and said that I had fibromyalgia. If you have never known anybody with this, it seems like it's like something that they just come up with when they don't know what's going on. Fibromyalgia is, there's no visible symptoms of it. Apparently, there are 8 pressure points that they test. And if you have pain in all of those pressure points, you have fibromyalgia. And like I said, you can't see it, but it feels like, see if I can get this to do it. It feels like this. My cousin sent me that because she has it too. It hurts. Sometimes just to get a hug hurts. And I would pray to God, you know, heal me. Make this go away. I know you don't want me to suffer. And nothing changed. Nothing. Well, 9 years later, that was 2010. No change. No change. But I believe everything in the Bible. I believe in the beginning. And I believe amen at the end. Every time I hear something out of it, I just believe it. Don't you? You got to trust it. Well, a few weeks ago, Carlton came up with a message, and I know we all hear different when we hear something out of the Word, we all hear differently. Well, I heard God doesn't want you to suffer. That's what I heard. That was on August 11th. You can go back, listen to it, see if you hear it too. God doesn't want you to suffer. He doesn't. So I was like, okay, God doesn't want me to suffer. He's going to heal me. So I went home and I prayed and I said, okay, God, heal me. Make this stop. And I was positive. When I got up the next morning, I was not going to hurt. But I did. And I cried. And I cried. I said, well, okay, there's got to be some reason why God's letting me suffer with this pain. Because he doesn't want me to suffer, but here I am. So the next Sunday, we had the stop asking God for what he's already done message. Ooh. There I was. I was asking God for what he'd already done, right? He'd already placed that power in me. I'm an owner. But I didn't know how to get to it. I was like, okay, I have been asking God for what I already have. And I was so excited to hear the next message. I really wanted to hear what Carlton had planned for a follow-up on that one. Because I knew, week before that, God didn't want me to suffer anymore. The following week, he's telling me I'm already asking him to do what he's already done. So the next week's got to be powerful. Because it's got to be telling me how I'm going to tap into this. And it was. Carlton came back with, let's see, I wrote all this down. We are a spirit being having a physical experience. We have everything. Every power Jesus had. Therefore, we have the power to heal. We have every power that Jesus had. You hear that? We had every power that Jesus had. It says so in the Bible. We read it that week. We have it. We just have to believe it. So I'm a spirit being having a physical experience, and the physical experience I've been having has not been fun. It's been painful. But Ephesians 1:5 and Romans 8:15, we are not slaves, we are owners. And so I said, okay, God, you gave me the power through you to make this stop. And that Sunday when I got home from church, I got down on the floor with Rylan and I colored for over an hour on the floor, and I got back up. And I was like, I'm not in pain. I'm not in pain. Now, mind you, 9 years on pain medication. I'm severely addicted. But pain medication never made it go away. It just made me, one, tolerate it, or two, not care enough to bother with it. So, okay, I know the pain's gone. So now I just got to get rid of the drugs. Okay, here comes the hard part. Seriously, that was the easy part. Because God already placed that power in me. So now I just got to get rid of the drugs. So, first thing I did, you know, like a real smart person, I don't need them. I just quit taking them. Well, if you've ever known anybody who's been addicted to opiates, they have control over your nerves. And the pain from coming off of pain medication was probably more intense than the fibromyalgia. One, it's psychological. Two, it's physical. I've quit smoking cigarettes. I did that back in 99. That was physical. That was hard. Coming off pain pills was even harder. Because I knew I could make it stop if I just go in there and just take half of one. If I could just take half of one, it'll quit. So I decided I was going to wean myself off of them. Because I didn't need them anymore. The fibromyalgia is not hurting my body anymore. It has no power over me. I am an owner. I'm a spirit being having a physical experience in this body. And I have, by God, I have the power to make it stop. So I go down like half a pain pill, and I go 2 weeks doing that. And then I go down half a pain pill, and I go another 2 weeks. And those first 4 days, when you cut down that just that half a pain pill, it was a nightmare. Those first 4 days were hard. Hard. Every 2 weeks, they were hard. Because it hurt. I got to tell you all about something that happened. So I was down to one pain pill a day. And I cleaned my house. I know that doesn't sound like much, but when you have that, you're not cleaning much house. You're doing like, you know, it's not disgusting most of the time. Most of the time it is. I cleaned my whole house. I was so excited. I didn't hurt. Well, back before all this, if I cleaned my whole house, I didn't move much for the next day, maybe the next 2 days. So I went to bed that night. Whole house was clean. I felt great. Nothing was hurting. Praise God. By his stripes, I have been healed. It's gone. Next morning, I woke up. Pain shot through my entire body. And I said, no. And I'm going to tell y'all, when I told that no, it was gone. I mean like it was gone. It shot through my body like I was going to be in bed for the rest of the day. And I said, no. And it was gone. And I was like, I just got to keep doing what I'm doing. And you know, there are the little, every once in a while, a little pain comes back in. And I go, you know what? By his stripes, I've been healed. And that pain goes away. I think that either my body has no more control over my spirit, or the pain is not in my body. I don't know which. I just don't know. But it doesn't hurt. I know that. And praise the Lord. It's been 4 days since I've had any medication.
Right. Then I know that was not easy to get vulnerable and share some of the deepest secrets that things going on, but you never know how that will help somebody else. I'm just, you know, and some of you are gonna think, yeah, that's what I want, and some of you might say, all right, I'm gonna do this formula. I'm just telling you, it's not a formula. It's a deeper, how do I put it? It's a deeper understanding, first of all, of who you are. It's an understanding that God wants better for you than probably you believe are believing Him for. I don't know. Trust the Holy Spirit. How about that? Dan, is that a good answer? It'll work. I'm just telling you, God wants way more for us than we believe Him for. And so, anyway, I pray that was a blessing to many. I want to continue in the book of Ephesians, and as I've stated, I'm going to get a little bit controversial as I have before, more than once. And Ephesians 4:7, we ended on this verse last week, but I think it's super important that we say it again because it's some powerful things are about to be said. Ephesians 4 says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And I said, how much grace have you been given? And Dan threw his arms out. You remember when you asked your children when they were little, how much does Daddy love you? And they, this much, you know. And, of course, what a picture of the cross. How much does God love you? This much, that He was willing to stretch out His arms. Now let's look at where Paul does a kind of an interesting twist. He actually goes back and quotes Psalm 68 as he quotes Ephesians 4:8. So notice what Psalm 68 says, and he's basically quoting the Old Testament. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now in the next two verses, Paul here is basically saying, okay, let me explain this, what the Old Testament writer said. So he said, now this expression, he ascended, well, what does it mean except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. Well, what is the meaning of this? Well, obviously, there is quite a bit of discussion regarding what this means. When you do a search online, you're going to hear all kind of things. Paul used Psalm 68, verse 18, as I said, in verse number 8. And I went back and actually read the Psalm 68. That you want to always go back and look in context. They'll teach you that in seminary. If I didn't learn anything else, Dan, I did learn to understand Scripture, context, context, context. Well, how do you look up something in context? Well, you read verses before, you read verses afterwards, and you try to figure out what was going on. So the context back in Psalm 68 was where Israel was captured in Jerusalem, but God came and set the captives free. In other words, He came to their rescue. Now, it's interesting what the verse that follows Psalm 68:18 says, and I want you to see this in verse 19. It says, blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden, the Lord, the God who is our salvation. So there's two things here. He's talking about our daily needs. He's talking about now our salvation. Now, I want to back up to Ephesians 4, and I want you to look at verse number 8 once again. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now, remember, verse 7 that I stated right before it, it says that we've each one. That means all of us were given grace according to Christ's gift. Now, if you'll notice here, it says he led captives free and gave gifts to men. Yes, I believe Dan is talking about spiritual gifts. I know the reason I call his name is I know this is a special topic to him. In the verses that to follow next week, we're going to be talking about some of these gifts. But yes, he gave gifts to men, but folks, it goes way deeper than that. There's no question in my mind that this was the inclusive message of the cross. What's the inclusive message of the cross? That Christ, along with humanity, you and me, descended. He buried us. He raised us. We ascended. It's called a co-resurrection. And I pray the Holy Spirit is going to help you understand this co-resurrection, that we were raised with Christ also. So yes, he raised us a new creation in Christ, but could there be a little bit more here that Paul's talking about? I believe there is. Now this is the controversial part, okay? Ephesians 4, 8 through 10 clearly is giving something interesting here. So I want to look at verse number 9, since we talked about he went back and quoted Psalm 68, 18. Then he begins to explain it. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? Where did he go in the lower parts of the earth? What does this mean? He who ascended is himself also who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Well, where did he go? Who was he going to talk to or speak to? Now, I'm about to read you something from Luke chapter 16 that's going to help explain this, in my opinion. Luke 16, it talks about a man named Lazarus, and it talks about a rich man. Y'all remember this story? It says, and the rich man lifted up his eyes. Let me just read this to you. It's talking about a place called Hades and a place called Paradise. Keep in mind, this was before the cross. Okay, Luke 16, verse 24. And he, rich man, cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he's being comforted here and you are in agony. Did you know that this is exactly what the people still believe is going on and what's going to happen after death? Well, Lazarus, you wasn't willing to help. You weren't willing to do good works. Ask people, how do you think a person gets to heaven? Well, I got to obey the Ten Commandments. I got to do good. And basically, when God, we get up there, there's going to be some kind of big balancing scales that we got to step on to. And if our good works outweigh our bad works, then we're in the door. Don't you agree that that's the majority of the world's thinking? It is. Go out and ask them, and I guarantee you it'll confirm it. Here's the question. What do you believe it takes for a person to go to heaven? Simple question. They'll answer this question for you. Look at verse 26. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great chasm, or some versions say a great gulf, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, so that none may cross over from there to us. So many will say that this is a picture, and actually it's going to be even worse than this, as far as hell or the afterlife. They'll say, okay, here's the picture, was in the Old Testament, here's what's coming, and then we'll pick verses to back up that theory. So, as I said, this was before the cross. Jesus had not gone yet and died. Not only does Ephesians 4 say he descended and led the captive to freedom, Peter also says this. Now, I want you to see this. I've talked about this before, but I felt like it was good to bring it back up again. Peter said that Jesus went to preach to those in prison. Where and where? Well, hang on. Before he said that, though, I felt importance. Remember, I said context. Look and see what's being said. So I want to read two verses before I read the controversial verses, okay? Mm-hmm. Look at verse 17 of 1 Peter 3. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right than for doing what is wrong. Then he says a powerful transition verse. He said, for Christ also died for the sins once for all, the just for the unjust. Who was that? That would be Jesus, okay? Remember, if you don't know the answer, just say Jesus. Probably it's going to be right. For Christ also died for the sins once for all, once for those who believe, once for those who praise the sinner's prayer. I don't believe that's what it says, is it? Once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in a spirit. What a powerful proclamation this was. The verses that I'm about to read are very controversial, but I want you to remember this, what it says, okay? Christ died for all sins once for all. Does all mean all? I looked it up, it does. Actually, here's what it says when I looked it up. It says, but once for all. It does mean all, but once for all. Why did Christ die? Notice the latter part of the verse 18. It says, so that he might bring us to God, not that we bring ourselves to God. Now notice what Christ did. I believe this happened during the 3 days, and it's up to you to believe this or not. This is what I believe. During the 3 days that his body was in the grave, he wasn't in the grave. That's in my opinion, okay? Now look at what Peter said. 1 Peter 3, 19-20. Which he went and made proclamation to the spirits in prison, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, remember this is Noah, his family, his three boys and then three wives, so there's eight total, were brought safely through the water. Now, don't you look at this. It says that he went to the inner, he went and made proclamation. As I said, I personally believe it's talking about what Paul's talking about in Ephesians, that he descended. He went to Hades. He went to a place where there was a great separation, and he went to impart grace and love to them, to those who had died in unbelief before the cross, you see. It says to those who were disobedient. Remember, during the days of Noah, nobody believed him. The ark was a picture of salvation. Only Noah and his sons and their wives entered the ark. The rest of them said, it ain't even rained. And he's saying, there's a flood coming. Don't you know he was a fool in the eyes of really all of them, because nobody else believed him except his family. But he went and preached to them, those that didn't believe. How many of y'all ever heard that once you die in this life, about if you hadn't trusted Christ, it's too late? Nowhere in Scripture do I see that. Actually, I'm seeing right the opposite when I read these verses, okay? Jesus went to, and some of them will say, well, Jesus, when he went to proclaim, talking about these verses here in Peter, well, he went to say, see what you missed out on? I did all this for you, and you chose to. If you still believe that, I'm praying for a Holy Spirit revelation of love and grace for you. That is not who our God is. Oh, my goodness. Look at what Peter said now in verse 21, 1 Peter 3:21. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Say, well, I didn't think baptism was salvation. Well, he goes on to explain this, not talking about the physical baptism, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Resurrection is a key word here. Who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers have been subjected to him. As I said, we were co-resurrected with Christ. Christ buried himself and all humanity and all of our junk. Part of our junk is part of the the sickness and the sins, the whole mess that just messes us up, okay? You got to think beyond. You say, well, how could he have done that when I still got it in my body? Because we're still looking in the temporal. We're still looking in the physical realm instead of the spirit realm. We're still looking in this time chronological thing. We've got to see the big picture and begin to think like owners, begin to think like spirit beings that happen to have an old body, that happens to still get sick. But that's not who we are. So even, look at verse, I'm going to jump over a few more verses in Peter to 1 Peter 4:6, because this is huge here. For the gospel has for this purpose been preached. I never heard this preached before. Look at what it says. Even to those who are dead. Well, go talk that out to some preachers and see how far you get in that conversation. For the gospel has for this purpose been preached even to those who are dead, that though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the spirit according to the will of God. Even to those who are dead, even to those who have died in disbelief or unbelief, even to those who were judged in the flesh, now that they may live in the spirit according to the will of God. Question, what is the will of God? I love it. Peter even answers this question. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, look at it. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Question, do you think God's big enough to accomplish His will? Now, I've preached this before, but I want to show it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. For as in Adam, all died. No question. You didn't have to teach your kids how to mess up, did you? Y'all have a lesson on, now this is how you disobey your parents. Okay. No, you didn't. You're trying to teach them to turn that around, right? We just were born, if you will, into that. In Adam, before we were ever born, the Bible says that Adam messed it up for all. So also Christ, in Christ, all will be made alive. Does all mean all? That's the question. The Bible says He descended to lead those held captive to freedom. That was after death. He filled that place with His unconditional love and grace, in my opinion, no question. Holy Spirit now said this through Paul in Romans chapter 12. I know I'm jumping around, but it kind of all fits. Romans 12:20. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. And by the way, when we do good to people, our attitude is, yeah, I wanted to be nice to them so they can suffer. That's why the Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Your vengeance is not going to be right unless it's in the Holy Spirit, right? It's usually out of the flesh. This burning heaps of coal on his head is the pure love and grace of God. But don't overcome by evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now my question to you is, if God is a God who gives up on evil, gives up on those that don't trust Him, gives up on those who lives like the devil in this life, and then He's going to punish them forever and ever in a place called hell, is God asking us to do something that He's not willing to do Himself? He said, overcome evil with good. No, He's not asking us to do something He's not willing to do Himself. We've just been messed up in our head about eschatology and the end times, in my opinion. I told you I'd be controversial, didn't I? The Bible says God's love is everlasting. The Bible says His mercy is eternal. He went and preached love, grace, and mercy to those who had chosen darkness, who had chosen to not agree and not believe what he had done for them. Now watch this. As I stated earlier, nowhere in Scripture do you see where God does not, where God gives up on people even after this life. Actually, we see the opposite. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, all will bow, confessing him as Lord. How many of y'all heard that preached before? They don't preach it like I'm about to tell you. They'll say, well, see there, you don't bow on this side of death, then you're going to bow on the other side, and it's going to be too late. Isn't that how pretty much how you've been? In other words, he's going to say, if you won't bow willingly, you're going to bow before me before I cast you away from me. Look at it through the eyes of grace. At the name of Jesus, all will bow, confessing he is Lord. Well, guess what Romans 10:9 says? It says that those who confess him will be saved. Let me repeat 1 Corinthians 15 and add a little to it. Add the part of the next verse. 1 Corinthians 15:22-23a. For in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Well, they can't be saved that way. Are you sure? If you want to dive deeper into this, some of you, I don't remember if all of you were coming at this time, if you will go on our website, you can click Archives of Sermon Series, and you can see Beyond an Angry God series. In that series, we did a four-part message called Hell Week. Hell Week 1, 2, 3, 4. Eddie did three of them, and I did one. It goes deeper into all of what we just said. But let me confess something here. I don't confess to know everything about the end of this life and how it's all going to play out. However, I pray the Holy Spirit has challenged some of the things that you've been taught and some of the beliefs. Now, we're about to close with a song that I've got to preface why I'm showing it. It's entitled, Arise My Love. It's an older song by New Song. You've heard it, I guarantee you, if you've been in church. It's been around a long time. Powerful song. Just the way they do it and talks about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I mean, it'll bring you on your feet just without me to tell you what I'm about to tell you. This one might not bring you to your feet. It may bring you to your feet, but it'll bring humility to you, and you might be overwhelmed as I was. In this song, there is a question that they pose. They say in the song, could it be that the Father had forsaken him, turned his back on his Son, despising our sin? They pose this question, but they don't answer the question. I'm going to answer the question. Many will say, well, after all, Jesus said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? So evidently God did forsake him. No. Listen to me. As I said, the song poses that same question, but it doesn't answer it. You see, Jesus felt forsaken. He was fully human. He knows how it feels to hurt. He knows how it feels to be rejected. He felt forsaken, and he was quoting Psalm 22:1. For you Bible scholars, you know if you go back to the book of Psalms, Psalm 22 actually is an account of a lot of the things he said during this time. And one of them was he was quoting Psalm 22:1, which basically said, my God, why have you forsaken me? But if you pick that one verse and you say, well, evidently he did. No. Context, context, context. Go back and read all of Psalm 22. And you'll see some other things that Jesus said during this time. But Psalm 22, verse 24, I want you to see what it says here. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him, but when he cried to him for help, he heard. He was not forsaken on the cross. You got to, as I said, read the rest of the this messianic psalm, the scholars call it. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were all suffering while Jesus was on the cross. Now, Jesus was the one taking the brunt, but I'm telling you, they were all there. Now, with that mentality, with the vastness of the pain, if you will, that they were going through because of you and me. Now, think about the intensity of this. As I was listening to this song that I'm about to share with you, Wednesday night, actually Angel was at another church, Wednesday night youth fall festival thing, and I was waiting on her. I that song came to my mind. I was thinking about the message today and about how he descended and how he ascended and the death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the song came to my mind, and I turned it on. Because of what the Holy Spirit has shown us, you remember last week, in John chapter 17, where it was the priestly prayer of Jesus, he prayed for you and me. He prayed, he said, I pray that they would help them understand that even as the Father has loved Jesus himself, Jesus, Father, you love them in the same way. And that alone will just humble you. You think, God loves me in the same way, just like he loves Jesus? The answer is yes. Now, I had that in the back of my mind. And then when I heard this song, I understood that I was buried with Christ and that I was raised with Christ. And I thought, the song pictures it this way. You know, it says, all hell thought they had won, that he's dead. Then all of a sudden, God the Father looks down and says, arise, my love. Now, what got me in tears was, I'm thankful that Jesus rose. But what... I took it personal. When the Father looked down and said, arise, my love, he wasn't just talking to Jesus Christ. He was talking to Carlton Rivers, who was right there in the grave with him. How excited was he to see his son raised? Let me rephrase that. How excited was he to see all of his children raised? And I pray the Holy Spirit will overtake you as he overtook me. I wept. Angel got in the truck and she probably thought, what the heck's going on with this man over here crying? I began to explain to her what had just happened. And I pray that God will help you see that when he looked down and he said to his son, arise, my love, he wasn't just talking to Jesus. You take it personal.
the tomb began to shake, and like lightning from heaven, the stone was rolled away. And as dead men, the guards, they all stood there in fright as the power of love displayed its might.
Then suddenly a melody filled the air, riding wings of wind, it was there.
I just trust this week when you feel like you're captive to whatever it might be in your life, that's not who you are, that you'll remember the song. That when he looked down, he raised you as well, and that you're a new creation in Christ and you're a spirit being. That's who you are. These physical pains come and go, but don't let them get you. That's not who you are.